You are listening to Fantha Tracks.
Because of the following special program, Wonder Woman and the Incredible Hulk will not be presented this evening.
Time to get all your Star Wars news in a single file. This is Making Tracks. Here are your hosts, Mark Newbold and Mark Mulcaster.
It's not true. That's impossible.
You're listening to Making Tracks as we head back to the town hall at Fording Bridge for Farthest From 25 in December 2023. As Dave Tree and Luke Coffey Bainbridge sit down to discuss Luke's work with No More Heroes and much, much more on this special episode of Making Tracks.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the No More Heroes custom action figure set presentation. My name's Dave. Joining with me is Luke Coffey Bainbridge. And really, the next sort of few minutes is just like a general overview of the pain and torture I put Luke through, who's the person who fastidious, just literally relentlessly like painting. So for the benefit of anybody who doesn't know, Luke is an action figure customizer and painter. He does it full-time as a professional job. And we have produced, I'd like to say four sets, but the reality is it's actually like six sets.
Because it is done, now, yeah.
Done Action Force ones as well. These are custom action figure sets that we'll go into a little bit of the background idea behind it. But they are all using existing toys. Big global issues going on right now. There's a lot of wastage, there's a lot of excess plastic and things like that. What Luke and I have been sort of working on is actually what we feel is a very good encouraging thing, and that's taking old toys and upcycling them. As we'll see in the presentation, we don't have like a huge amount of like pictures, but it's taking literally the knackered figures. So we're all at Farthest From, it's a vintage toy show, and you'll see quite often there are buckets of just old, broken, beaten up figures and things like that. And to be honest, for the most part, they just go from show to show to show to show, because everybody wants the best condition, carded figure possible and things like that. What happens to all this other stuff? It's not going to, disintegrate anytime soon. You know, it's already like 40 odd years old. So we've decided to try and amass as much as we can of this stuff. And then Luke then spends many hours cleaning them up, in some case having to restore them because they've got bits missing and tuned
tiny
off.
Little nose jobs.
Who's your favourite on that front?
On the nose job front?
Yeah.
Medine, is it?
Yeah.
So, I don't know what happened with kids in the 80s just destroying their Medine figures. They're rubbing them along the floor or something. But, it was like half of the Medines that you managed to source didn't have a nose. So I was like, right, we're going to have to get the tiny Dremel out, hole in the face, tiny bit of brass rod, and then sculpt a nose back onto the figure. It was before we could paint it or anything, so that was an adventure in itself.
So Luke is slowly conditioning me to be better at sourcing these things rather than going, yeah, that'll do, I'll send that to him, because there's been one or two on the Action Force ones, there's all like toes missing and you've had to redo feet and all kinds of bits and
the bits. Action Force ones, again, I don't, the kids were cruel in the 80s. They scraped Medine's face off and they chewed the fingers off the Action Force figures. Resculpting the hands or reinforcing the hands in some cases, and the feet. But no, it's fun. It's good.
Wow. So all of this started back around April time, and Luke and I were like talking, and it started off principally as one action figure that we were looking to customize, and there was a German toy advert from back in the 80s where they were advertising the X-Wing fighter toy, but inside they repainted a B-Wing pilot in orange, and it's one of these like just very bizarre things that has never really been solved, that for whatever reason they needed to have a Luke X-Wing but they didn't have one, so they painted a B-Wing pilot to look like an X-Wing pilot in this, and very few people have, you know, it's been out there for 40 years, but very few people have ever really like spotted it to then sort of like see, well, hang on a second, that's not right. So I approached Luke saying, do you think we could do a batch of these figures, batch of B-Wing pilots? I had about 10 or so knocking around, and they were all sun faded, you know, and I just know that they're never going to sell. I've had them for the last 10 years, no one's ever bought them, not likely to buy them now. Can we do a batch of these things as X-Wing pilots? And I was sort of like explaining the concept to like Luke, and then really the ball started going from there, because it's like, well, Luke was like, oh, well, I've got this idea, you can also do this with this figure and I was like,
well, I turned the B-Wing figure round in about an hour, didn't I?
Yes. And it was like, that's perfect, like, don't do any more, you know.
And then it all sort of snowballed from that one.
Yeah, and then, because I'm an idiot, I'm then like, well, we can do this. So I'm then looking at like literally the bins of like beta figures that I've got, and I'm like thinking, what else have I got? There's tons of nine nums. Never sell any nine nums. You only ever really need one, and nobody really ever like has. So what can we do with like nine num? And then so from there it was like, well, let's try like an action figure set. We then did a second one. That was then for the July show, and then in between that show and this show, we've had Roll Out Roll Call, which is a Transformer G.I. Joe show that we do, so there was two action force sets, and then for this show, two additional sets have been created. Now, I haven't really got much of a development on the first two sets, primarily because I ran out of time.
Yeah.
But just to give you an idea of some of the things that Luke has to kind of endure... so there's like getting all the nine nums and Rebel Commandos together, and I don't know if you want to talk about the nine num, because that's one of your favourites, isn't it, really?
So the nine num is based on with a lot of these ideas, me and Dave, most of them come from Dave, but the nine num is specifically special to me because the Battlefront game that I absolutely played the hell out of, you can customise your character. So that is the character that I play in the game. So it's sort of an Endor commando, and it's the Sulistan alien. So I felt like I got a little part of myself into the set, because that's the guy that I've been, you know, shooting Imperials with for months. So yeah, that was cool being able to do that. And there are a few other little bits and bobs that come from just random corners of minor Dave's own personal fandom, aren't they?
Yeah.
You've come up with.
I mean, we didn't want to do, so like the Rebel Commando is a good example. And when you look at that figure, the costume department of the original trilogy, they take reference photographs, and the reference photographs are then given to the toy companies to then sculpt and things like that. But when you actually look into the that Endor sequence for like Return of the Jedi, you don't actually really see the Rebel Commando. You see variations of it. You know, it's not like a version exactly like that with like the gaiters and like the open top. And when you look into it, it's like, actually, none of these are correct in a sort of roundabout way. But because you've had the action figure, that is your point of reference. That's what you think is the correct going forwards. And it's like the wrong way round. It's like Han Solo in his Hoth gear as a brown coat, but everybody thinks it's a blue coat because it's the action figure that is like, you know, tainted your memory. And then equally within that opportunity, we wanted to like sort of increase the diversification of things. So they are Endor troopers who are not Caucasian, but there's very few representations of that. But then equally within the aliens as well, giving you a chance to like play around. So like Nine Num is grey in terms of the action figure, but like we've got him as a like a pale flesh coloured, and again based on Battlefront, that's the colours that you like see them in at. There's the Rogue Squadron pilot, which is a repainted B-wing, and that is, whilst it's one of the first, it's also still like one of
probably
favorites.
The favorites.
Yeah.
This is where we had the discussion about, because my background has been in Games Workshop and hyper sort of detailed painting, so it was really hard for me to get the Kenner style. And what I was originally doing, I was painting in the whites of the eyes and giving them a blue eye with a black pupil and thinking that people are going to like it. And Dave's like, we really need to do it the Kenner way. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, just do a line and a dot. Are you sure? I couldn't deprogram my thinking that wasn't enough. But when you see them all together like that, looking like, you know, something that Kenner would have put out, I now can totally see why it was important to do that. But it was a really difficult thing to get out of, trying to strip things back rather than adding things.
And now all of his Space Marines have just got like this. But it's underexposed, but a shot of the first series of figures. So going left to right, you've got the Rebel Commando. You've got the Code Slicer, we called this guy. We've got the Rogue Squadron pilot. Then the Nikto is Vizam. Vizam was actually a character in Return of the Jedi. So again, you think Nikto. Nikto is the associated name with that action figure, but it's also the associated name with that race. And then when you actually look at Jabba's entourage, he has several Niktos, and Vizam is the one that fired on the skiffs. So he was the one who got the sail barge cannon and was like firing, you know, and that's when Lando then falls over the edge. So Vizam is that character. And then to the right, you got the Skiff Master. And so again, same with the Weequays, you got Weequay as the action figure, but Weequay is the race. And then on that first skiff that the heroes were on at the Battle of Carcoon, you've got the Skiff Master and the Weequay that we associate with the action figure.
It's the first one in the pit, isn't he?
I think he is. Yeah.
He does the Wilhelm scream.
That's it. So
head first in.
So we then started to have a little bit of fun on these, and some are generic characters like the Troop Builders one. So the Rebel Commando and the Rogue Squadron pilot aren't named, but we named the Code Slicer Mole Caster, and we named the Skiff Master Mortuma. Now these are little Easter eggs that I'll stick in, and we're trying to like butt rock Pablo to then go, these things are canon, aren't they? Because the Skiff Master doesn't actually have a name. Every reference that you look up is just referred to as Skiff Master, even though Vizam's got a name and the Nikto, whatever he is, his name, but like the Skiff Master doesn't have one, so called it Mortuma, which is an Easter egg for Andrew Mortimer. And then Molcaster is Mark Molcaster from like the Rebel Legion. So like just having a bit of fun. Bowman's Green, who's downstairs, along with David, I can't remember his surname, produced a really cool print for the first set, done in the sort of style of the Star Wars Weekly, as if you would, you know, and I totally buy into this, that to me looks like, you know, the comic that you would have had from Marvel, like back in the day, in the Rogue Squadron scramble, you know, they're running to like their fighters in the Yavin hangar. I would like to do a print for each set, but David is incredibly busy, and it's finding a space that he can do it, but then also the funds to like do it with as well.
We were so lucky to get that.
Yeah,
I think it's really just you just want to read it.
You would think it is a comic book just by looking at it.
For everything in one location, daily news, reviews, interviews, podcasts, video and social media feeds, bookmark FanthaTracks.com for Star Wars news 24/7, 365.
From there, we went into like series two, and again, going back, because I've got ahead of myself, one of the inspirations for these other characters. So you've got things that you can course correct in the sense of like where I'm saying the Rebel Commando, because people think the Rebel Commando, that's quite a bright looking figure. It's like, no, it's not. When you actually look at the props, it is a very light green that they're using, that's like, you know, sort of like that spray camo and things like that. We were drawing inspiration from Palitoy, who were the distributors of like the Star Wars action figures in the UK. Now, Palitoy had a product line called Action Force. Action Force was the UK, eventually evolved into the UK version of G.I. Joe, but Action Force has a very interesting history in the sense of that they created this whole product line, and then almost ran out of budget. They ran out of money, and the management team was like saying, right, well, because they changed direction, they were like small versions of Action Man, and then they were going into a fantasy direction. So the management team said, right, there's no budget for this. What you're going to need to do is like just cobble together what we've already produced and repaint it. So you were buying, as a kid, it didn't even tweak to me that as a kid I was buying the same action figure again and again and again, because they just repainted it in different ways. And that's also where we were like drawing inspiration for here. So Molcaster was like the sort of first figure of like, well, it's just literally like nine number, like let's try and think of change the direction of it and make it look completely different, so you think it's a totally different figure. And that to me is none more so evident with the Reyes here, because I don't actually look at that and think of Reyes. I look at that and go, oh my god, it's a whole new figure. So you've got here, going left to right, Jabba's bartender, because it's not a crazy thing to think that Jabba's drinking, because R2-D2's serving drinks with his like little trolley, and came up with a silly backstory that he doesn't trust. He's the best cocktail maker in the galaxy, but he doesn't trust anybody else to know his secret recipes, and that's why he only works with droids to like serve his drinks. You've got Imperial Commander, and again, you've got the black original action figure of that, but you had like the olive green versions of it, you had the grey versions of it, so ripe for you know, repaints and stuff like that.
ISB.
Yeah, ISB as well. You've got the Attack Commander, and this was an opportunity to actually do it in the correct colours. Low grey as a new Ewok with a Chief Chirper hood. I know that's lame, but that's using the Palitoy ethos. That's exactly what you do. And you've got Madine with a nose job, quite possibly, done as the Rebel deck officer. Now, again, having a bit of fun, we called the bartender Criddle, after Grant Criddle. Imperial squadron leader, Alanson, after Jez Alanson, the running stormtrooper. Captain Tinmar Keeler, which is Martin Keeler. Ewok scout is Skeener, Stuart Skinner from Generation Skywalker, and Jan Looma, which was Mark Newbold's West End Games character. And we couldn't use Mark Newbold because he's actually already got his name in canon in Star Wars, so he's not getting two. No, so we'll be, and then we did create two mail-aways for both sets. It was a repainted Weequay for set one, which we called Horsewell after Stuart Horsewell and the Horsewell family that helped us out. But he's the Weequay sharpshooter that appears twice in Return of the Jedi. First of all, he's thrown out the barge by Luke because he's like going up, because he opens up the hatch. And then somehow he then, even though he fell into the Sarlacc, he then gets back up. He reappears back on the on the deck of the sail barge, and he's the one who then shoots Luke in the hand. So he's literally doesn't have a name. He's just literally known as Weequay Marksman. So we're calling him Horsewell. And then for set two, it was a repaint of Nikto again as Nassad. And again, he's like in Jabba's palace. There's that famous shot of Boba Fett with Bosk, and Nassad is like next to him in terms of the publicity stills. But in the film, he's the one who opens up the hatches of the sail barge when Luke is on the deck, and you hear him go, he like laughs, yeah, but that's the sad or nice sad. So yeah, we created mail away figures, and again, that whole thing of like here's what you've just bought, but like here's what you also could get, you know, that extension of. And again, that's like how many more things can we keep repainting and stuff like that. So yeah, there's a group shot, and I love this sort of thing because it's that signposting back to, like, it makes it feel like it's a vintage thing, that you've got like the text at the bottom there and them all against a yellow background.
Collect them all.
Yes. So for series three, a whole bunch of new characters again, and going through each one, we've got the Imperial Army Trooper, the Mon Calamari Fleet Officer, Jabba's Pit Fighter, the Coruscant Guard, and Jiran, and just sort of giving a little bit more insight, and this gives you a bit more of an idea of some of the development here. So this is actually the first pass of the Imperial Army Trooper, because we were sort of going between the army troopers that you see in Andor. They're on Ferrix, they're also on Aldani as well. You've got the troopers in Solo, and it's trying to like find that sort of like happy medium between the two. Luke follows the brief, and then quite sometimes I look at it and I go,
yeah,
sort of wrong, you know. And he's like, so I'll be asking, can you sort of maybe change this or touch it up?
I think what I was thinking with this is that I was trying to think of the previous ATAC commander.
Yes.
How he's got the body armor, so it would sort of track if you had a bunch of them together.
Yeah.
But I think your suggestion of having it all green was the way to go. It's just me thinking, is this enough, basically? Should we have an extra layer of colour on? But no, I think it's better without.
Yeah. Mon Calamari officer, so that's a pretty easy one. We always think of Akbar and the Mon Calamari, like, in this. But when you actually see the rest of them, Akbar's really only the one in white. Everybody else is in, like, this sort of cream, sort of brownie fatigues and stuff like that. And wearing trainers as well. Look at that. The Coruscant Guard, based on Shadows of the Empire, something I absolutely loved in Days of Yore. And I always thought the Coruscant Guards were a really cool concept that they never really...
Never took off, really, did it?
Yeah, they never expanded upon it. But it was trying to... Originally, I was like thinking the Biker Scout as an action figure, and we went with the...
Snowtrooper,
because Luke came up with a better suggestion for the Biker Scout. But again, this was one where it didn't quite feel it for me on the first pass, and I get because Luke was trying to do the...
I was thinking of the Sith Trooper from Rise of Skywalker, where you just get in that last scene where you get a sea of red.
Yeah.
But it didn't really work with the Snowtrooper. So yeah, the black separates it, and then you get more of a glossy red and more sort of a matte on the trousers and the sleeves. So the black grey separates that, and I think it makes it much better.
And then we've also got Greth as well, who is Jabba's pit fighter. So the idea behind this is looking at how Jabba liked to entertain himself. He would feed people to the Rancor, and he would, he's a crime lord, he'd be extortion and stuff like that. It's not too far of a stretch of an imagination to think that he's got his own kind of, champion, and you saw it in Mandalorian at the start of season two. You got the, and it was a crime boss. He kind of sat there. He was kind of sort of very, you're disrespecting me kind of thing. But it was his Gamorrean guards that were like fighting and what have you. So thought of doing a pit fighter for Jabba, because he may even just be throwing them down into the pits. Because that is a pit. The Rancor comes from one gate opening. That's not where the Rancor lives. So anything could be like going on in that pit. So it could be disputes or people that owe money to Jabba. And really the inspiration behind this guy was how do you make him different, stand out against like a regular Gamorrean guard? And straight away I was thinking of can't remember the character's name, but like from Hobbit.
It was a simultaneous text,
yeah,
wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. And then if you could get like a sort of scar down him where he's like the white orc and what have you. And then give him slightly more ornate detail on his armour compared to the vintage figure, and you get something that's...
I thought it'd be a really good idea on this to put studs on the belt. And then when I had to paint a whole bunch of them, I realised it wasn't such a good idea. Because, so there's like all these little silver dots. Yeah. They're not part of the sculpt. They're just dabbed on with the tip of the brush. But
yeah.
It's one of those suggestions that I was like, why did I suggest this?
But again, where I have my favourites in every single set, I would say... For me, this is my personal favourite for this set, because again, it's literally turning the head of something that you've seen inside out for like the last 40 years and giving it a completely different, fresh feel. And that really is the idea behind all of this, is giving all of these knackered, tired figures a chance to shine again, to like be on display on shelves and that.
Well, that's your favourite. I think Jiren, did we call him?
Yes.
Is mine, because that whole from the waist down is just grey plastic with like a skirt on the original figure. So there's so many bits and pieces on that sculpt that you can pick out. So the leg bracers, and then the brace around the top of the boots, and the little thing on the shoes and everything. And then he does have this body armour on underneath that we picked out in bronze. So you see things differently when you pick them out as a different colour. And so I've never really considered that figure before, but now I actually really love the sculpt.
Yeah, and Jiran is the other... animal keeper. So when the Rancor is slain by Luke, Jiran is the first one to like have a go at Luke, and then the Rancor keeper pushes him out of the way and starts crying, and then he's like consoling him as he goes. So Jiran is a named character. They've only ever done this version of him in the Legacy back in 2009. He is an awesome figure, but like they've never really gone back and explored this. And as like Luke was like saying, there's very little reference photos of the figure, but like you do have these characteristics of like the leg bindings, which Luke was able to like pick out and then add in on Klaatu. So it's giving it a whole new sort of version, so to speak.
And they're already on the figure. They're not painted.
Yeah.
You would never see them because he's wearing a skirt.
So this is this at this point there's a slide because I didn't get time, but we got the mail away figure here. So we have a rebel smuggler, so Reese, and this is the only one we've really sort of like tampered with, because we've given him an X-wing chest panel, but that is Sabaivi. So going back to like the Easter eggs, we've called the pit fighter Greff. And that's after Thorsten Greff, who's a German collector. And he was really the guy who was really pushing for the Rogue One, the repaint of the B-Wing pilot, because it is, you know, from Germany. And then Sabaivi is Craig Spivey from Generation Skywalker. And this shot is a little bit of a glimpse of some of the other work that goes on. Her name's just like popped up, but Chloe does all of the graphics and photography for the boxes. We didn't want you to have these things and go, oh, there you go, give some money. You know, you've got to have a little bit of theatre with it. So Chloe is... managed to design and then get printed, and again it's a lot harder than you might realize, because when you're doing low volumes, nobody wants to, you know, if you're doing 5,000 of these things, oh yeah, we can help out, but the moment you say you do about 30, you know, they're like no. So it's very difficult to like find suppliers and then work with those and then deliver what it is that you want to do, and she's very skilled and adept at that. But she does all the photography and then the boxes. Oh, I did have him. Sorry. So there you go. There's Sabaivi. So he's done as an X-wing pilot, and Luke did a press mold.
We press molded the panel, so that is an actual. It's everything's in the same place as it would be on the Luke X-wing figure.
Yeah.
For continuity, and it just gives that, because it already sort of looks like a flight suit.
Yeah.
So it just gives it that feel of being he's in the rebellion, and he might have borrowed some equipment from them, but he is a rebel smuggler rather than, you know, in with the elites,
the bad guys or something like that.
He does the dirty jobs.
If you want to be part of the action, visit fanthatrax.com, or be sure to comment, like and share on our social media feeds at Fanthatrax. Send in your listeners' questions by emailing radio@fanthatrax.com. Subscribe, leave a review, preferably a 5-star one, on Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher or smart speaker of choice. And as always, thanks to James Temple for composing the Fanthatrax intro, Adam O'Brien for our making tracks opening music, and Mark Daniel and Vanessa Marshall for our voiceovers. Tune in to Good Morning Tatooine. It's live Sunday evenings, 9 o'clock UK, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, on Facebook, YouTube and Twitch. And check out our Fanthatrax Radio Friday night rotation every Friday at 7 o'clock UK time for new episodes of The Phantom from Down Under, Planet Layer, Desert Planet Discs, Start Your Engines, Collecting Tracks, Cannon Fodder, and special episodes of Making Tracks. And every Tuesday at 7 o'clock UK time for your weekly episode of Making Tracks. And remember, Fanthatrax.com, our social media feeds, Fanthatrax TV and Fanthatrax Radio are absolutely free. So no Patreon, Buy Me a Coffee, Kickstarter or Indiegogo required to stay updated on all the latest Star Wars news.
Until we catch up with you again, may the Force be with you. Coming up next on FanthaTrax Radio, it's another episode of Making Tracks.